Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a single verse from the Holy Gospel, the final verse, as written in the fifth chapter of Matthew, our text for today. Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you know, if sometimes things aren't the way they seem, you know people and I know people who like to put on airs. They want you to think that they are something that they're really not. Human beings like putting on this facade. We like putting on the emperor's clothes and showing everyone just how great we are. It's not only a problem in society, it's a huge problem in the church. And it was a huge problem in the days of our Lord when he was walking this earth. There were people who thought that they were better than everyone else. There are people today who think that they're better than everyone else, that they're better than the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. Those people then, and yes, even those people today are called Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees, they were devoted ones. They are the ones who were set apart because they could keep the law, or so they taught. They taught that they could keep all of God's law. Remember the rich young ruler? When Jesus asked him, he said that he kept all the law. Yet, later Jesus said that these Pharisees are whitewashed tombs. And it's the same today. There are people who are in the church and there are people outside the church who are whitewashed tombs. They look great on the outside, but on the inside they are dead, dead, dead. The Pharisees love the extremes. Matter of fact, sometimes their extremes were quite bizarre. You know that the Pharisees, they would tithe everything. They would give 10% of everything to God. And that included their mint and their dill and their cumin. Yes, dear ones, they even tithe their cooking spices. That's just how great they were. Did you know that the Pharisees, when they went out into public, they would often close their eyes so that they would not be tempted by anything or anyone? That way they could not fall into sin. Can you imagine walking through life with your eyes closed all the time? Well, that's what the Pharisees were, and that's what they did. Their spiritual eyes were closed all the time. You see, they were very, very religious. They were the uppity ones in the church. They were the zealous ones. They were the ones who were serious all the time. They were the ones who were righteous all the time. So today, Jesus tells us that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet Jesus tells us the truth about these scribes and Pharisees, doesn't he? He tells us that the scribes and Pharisees, that they twisted God's word, that they broke the law each and every day, and that they wrongly taught the word. Jesus begins in our text this morning by saying, "I tell you." Do you remember when you were a child and your mother or father said, "Let me tell you, young lady," or "Let me tell you, young man"? That means you better be listening. The same with our Lord. "I tell you." This is a reminder for us of his divine authority, that he is God, and that when he speaks, we are to be listening to his most holy word. So today, Jesus tells us about the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. in a way that we could say Jesus was actually talking about two kinds of righteousness. First, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Do you remember the parable of the shrewd manager? At the end of this parable, Jesus told the Pharisees the truth, yet the Pharisees sneered at Jesus. They laughed at him because they really loved their money. You see, the Pharisees were the ones who would puff out their chest and put their hands on their hips and say that, "I'm the rich one in the church. You better do what I say, or I'll just buy you out," in a way. You see, in their heart of hearts, money. Money was their God. So Jesus said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others. But God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable to God." These righteous scribes and Pharisees, they are the ones who self-justified themselves. They were the ones who were self-righteous. They were the ones who in their hearts thought that they were better than everyone else because they had it all. The Pharisee who stood at the altar of God and said, "Thank God I'm not like that poor man in the back. Thank God I'm not like that tax collector, that I'm not detestable like him." What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. You see, dear ones, the impenitent sinner, the sinner who thinks that they're good all the time, that they have no reason to repent of their sins because they never break the law of God. They're so holy and righteous that they are the perfect ones. Why, they should be the ones who are walking on the Sea of Galilee and not Jesus. It is they who credit righteousness to themselves. And this is a false righteousness. It is a righteousness that leads one directly into the arms of the evil one. Paul, for example, he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And as Paul looked back on his life as a Pharisee, Paul was horrified. Horrified at his own self-righteousness. He was so horrified that Paul called all that he did skubala. You farmers know it as dung. Skubala, that which is worthless, that which can be thrown out, that which is detestable in God's sight. You see, dear ones, the Pharisees in our churches today, they are skubala. Because what they teach and what they proclaim is useless. It is detestable in God's sight. For Scripture tells us that we are all sinners. That we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that none of us can justify ourselves before a holy and just God. There is no amount of money that can buy your way into heaven. There are no riches that you can use or give to God. There are no works that you can give to God to appease Him, to make Him happy with you. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. But then there's the penitent sinner. The penitent sinner clings to the righteousness that will allow them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The penitent sinner, you and me, and even little Cooper this morning, we are the ones who cling to the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus Christ Himself who credits to you and to Cooper and to me His righteousness freely given to you. Here at the cross was the great exchange. Jesus took your sin to the cross and He imputed. He gave freely to you His righteousness. It is the righteousness of Christ that saves you. It is the righteousness of Christ that will now allow you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Did you notice something about Jesus this morning, what he does not say about the scribes and Pharisees? Jesus does not say that the scribes and Pharisees are truly righteous. No. No, Jesus says that to be saved, righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, dear ones, equals eternal death. But our Father in heaven, through the Apostle Paul, wrote this for us in the second chapter of Ephesians. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Self-righteousness will never, ever save you. The righteousness of a scribe or a Pharisee will never, ever save you. Rather, your righteousness is a gift of God, given freely to you. And dear ones, we've just seen that happen this morning. Don't let anyone ever tell you that Jesus isn't merciful, that he isn't gracious, that he doesn't come to us and give to us all that we need in this body and life, and that he doesn't give to us, impute to us freely his righteousness. We've just seen it with our dear little Cooper. It's appropriate that he's dressed in white. For before Cooper came to the font, he was black as black can be. He was a sinner in the sight of God. He was a detestable one, worth being thrown into the fires of hell. But then God comes to him. And there in the waters of holy baptism, he is given newness of life, and all of his sin is washed away. And that dark cloth that he was shrouded in is now a white robe of righteousness. God himself puts on a white robe of righteousness on our dear little brother Cooper. And he has done the same for each and every one of you. For at your baptism, you are also robed in the same white robe of righteousness. This is the work of God. It is not your work. It can never be your work. It is only the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember what is written for us. For our sake, He, God the Father, made Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the righteousness that saves you. Not the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It is a righteousness that exceeds them, that is far greater than them. It is a righteousness that is from God Himself. And that righteousness is freely given to you. Just as He has given this righteousness to a dear little Cooper. Righteousness and the newness of life. He has given to Cooper salvation. Heaven is now open to him. Before it was closed, but because of God's grace and mercy, because of his love, he has forgiven the sins of our dear little brother. And heaven is his. Heaven is also yours, because Jesus has done the very same for you and me. Dear ones, pretty soon many of you will come to the altar. And once again, you will wash your robe in the blood of the Lamb. Remember, when we wash our robe in the blood of the Lamb, all that filth, all that scubala is washed away. We dip our robe into the blood of the Lamb, and it comes out white as snow, white as this alb. So therefore, when you come to the altar, come with a broken and contrite heart, knowing that He is present to serve you His body and blood for life and salvation. And yes, to serve you His body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. For the forgiveness of sins won for you here at the cross and the forgiveness of sins and that white robe of righteousness given freely to you here at the font. For yes, all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now this gift of righteousness and the peace of our Lord be with and abide in you all, now and forever. Amen.